Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please take your seats now. I don't know how many of you were at the New Year's Eve celebration, but if you were, you would recall Pastor Joe saying that God is taking us into a new season. You know, when Christians hear that, when Pastor Joe says, God is taking us into a new season, hear all the amens and hallelujahs. And of course, it's good. I believe that because God really is taking us to a new season. He really is. That is who He is, and that is what He does. He loves to bless His children. He loves to take His children from glory to glory. And at times, the only thing actually that stands in the way of what God wants to do for us is us. At times, it's us. We stand in the way of what God wants to do for us. I was listening to a testimony by this guy on YouTube, and he was sharing his testimony about how he had an encounter with Jesus. And this is what he said. He said, God told him that one thing that really saddens his heart is the fact that we, His children, are not able to receive what He has for us. And then he said, how is that? How are we not able to receive the blessing that You have for us, God? And then he said, God took him up to a certain room in heaven. And on the door of that room, it was written, unclaimed blessings. Wow. He said he saw blessings just hanging and hanging. And he says, God, what's all this about? And he said, God told him that, look, anytime we pray, He dispatches the answer. But at some point between the time when we pray and the time when the blessing actually gets to us, we change our confession or we doubt or we lose faith. And as a result, the angels take the blessings back. He said so many times he could see angels standing right by people ready to give them their blessing. And suddenly they have to go back because the people change their confession. He says there are times when they are praying, they stop praying suddenly because they don't see anything in the realm of the natural. So they think, God is not hearing my prayer. And so they stop praying. And as a result, it steals their blessing. You know, and so he says he was so surprised. And he says we pray once, we pray twice, or maybe we pray three times, and we don't see any manifestation. We conclude that our prayers are not being heard from God. And as a result, we lose out on our blessing. And I remember a scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, do not cease praying. Do not cease praying. And God knows why He says that, because the more we pray, the more. He said this. He said, when we pray, we don't see it, but we cause shock waves in the realms of the Spirit. He says, there's so much shock waves in the realms of the Spirit. He says, literally, mountains are moved in the realm of the Spirit that we don't see because we are always in the realm of the natural. But if God will open your eyes to see what's going on in the realm of the Spirit, you will keep praying, you know. And so as we step in this year of expansion, I just like to encourage you to keep praying. Not to stop praying, to keep believing, to keep trusting, to keep hoping, to keep faith, not to doubt, because God is ready to bless. You know? He's ready to prosper. He's ready to enlarge your territories. You know, when Pastor Paul first said that this year is our year of expansion, one of the first things that I did was, God, what area in my life do You want me to expand in, and how do You want me to expand? What area in my life do You want me to expand in, and how do You want me to expand? And the only reason I prayed that prayer is I don't want to find myself on a path that God hasn't ordained for me. Because there are times it's possible to find yourself on a path, think this is what God for you, only for you to realize that it's a far cry from what God has for you. You know, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, please. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Listen to this. Philippians, it says, can I have it in NIV version if you have it, please? Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Do you have it in the NIV? Good. It says, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has any reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. This is Paul speaking. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. Next verse. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Next verse, please. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Now, this is Paul speaking. And this may not mean anything to you, but at that time, he was almost like the perfect guy. He had everything going for him, success and everything. He says, look, when he comes to the law, you couldn't fault the guy. He was completely blameless. You couldn't fault him. He considered that a success. And even among the realms where he walked, that was success. But when he met with God, suddenly this was what? Rubbish. It never really mattered. And it's funny, you know, because at times what we think is success to us, to God is not. Yeah. You know, you could have all the cars and all the money and everything and you think it's success. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. But to God, it's not success. It's not at all. You know, he says in Isaiah 55 verse 8, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." Isaiah 55 verse 8. And then he goes on to say that, "As far as the earth or the heavens is far from the earth, that is how much different we think and we act." Isaiah 55 verse 8, if you can have that, please. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." 9, it says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and so my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And that tells me one thing. You know, the difference between the way we think and we act is so far apart that we can't even second guess what God wants for us unless we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us who will interpret what God is doing. We will never have a clue or have any idea what God for us. And that is why as we step into this year of expansion, it's really important that you become sensitive to the Spirit, because it's important to find out if that directive God gave is from Him. Then it only makes sense to ask Him for instructions as to how to walk in this path of expansion. Somebody say hallelujah. And so you realize that, listen, at times we think we know what God is thinking. No, he says, look, your thoughts are way, way, way beyond what I think. It's far beyond anything that you think. Even our ways are different. And so it's only my Spirit that can communicate with you what I'm thinking and what I'm doing. And so if you don't have the Spirit, you take a path thinking that, look, this is the right path. For all you know, it's the wrong path. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, please. Matthew chapter 6. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 6. You remember some time back, he said to when he said he wanted a temple, David thought he was the one who was going to build the temple. But he says, "No, I know you're a man after my own heart, David, but you are not the one going to build my temple. I want Solomon, your son, to build my temple." So it's one thing for God to give a directive, but it's a completely different thing for you to seek instructions as to how to pursue that directive. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, he says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or even what shall we wear?" Next verse, it says, "For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." I like this because it's so reassuring. And 33, go on, 33. 33, please. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." He says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? It's almost like saying, do not worry about, you know, the car you drive. Do not worry about how you pay your bills. Do not worry about what you eat. Do not worry about, you know, how you pay your rent. Do not worry about your job. And then the next verse, he says, because I know you need all of these. I know you need them. I know you need them. I know you need the houses. I know you need the cars. I know you need the money to pay. He says, do not worry at all. I know you need all of this. And then he comes up with this proposal. Watch this. He says, but why don't you put my kingdom first? Why don't you put my kingdom first? And then when you do that, I promise you, all these things that you are chasing after, the houses, the cars, the jobs, and all that, I will just add them. Now, he doesn't say, I promise here, because it's not man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind, because has he not said it, and will he not do it? He will do it. So he doesn't need to promise, but he's saying, this is a new proposal. Why don't you put my kingdom first and see, I promise you, I will add every single thing that you are chasing up. I will just add them. And so I believe that as we step in this year of expansion, a good place to start is to think about expanding his kingdom. Bringing people. And for you, it may mean reaching out, maybe to your friends, reaching out to your families, reaching out to people you know who are unsaved. When Pastor Joe said, you know, God was going to do something new in our lives, everybody was happy, jumping and screaming. I think it's about time for you to extend something new into somebody's life this year. It's about time for you to reach out to somebody and do something new. Get them to experience something new. Somebody who's never experienced the love of God before, reach out and extend that to them. They may not be grateful to you now, but trust me, they will eternally be grateful to you when they ever make it to heaven. Hallelujah. And so for some of you, it may mean starting to pray for members of your family. Or even if you can't do that, just invite them to church and leave the rest to us. We will do it. Or for some of you, it may mean reaching out to that colleague at work that you know for a long time you've been trying to reach out to. And for some reason, anytime you try to speak to him, fear sets in and you back out. And instead of you influencing them, they rather influences you. It's time to reach out to them. It's time to reach out to them. You know, years ago, maybe 2 years or so, I can't remember. I used to see this guy, maybe in his 60s or late 50s, an old guy. He was always going through rubbish and debris and stuff, trying to look for food to eat. And it's just that any time I see him, the first time I saw him, I just closed my mind to it. I didn't really think anything of it. And I kept seeing him for about a month. And I started getting the conviction that, you know, you've got to do something about this guy. You know, I don't think he was mad or crazy or anything. He was just, I think life had been so harsh on him that, you know, he had no place to stay. He didn't have anything to eat. And I used to see him. And then the excuse I gave myself, well, anytime I saw this guy, I was on my way to work. I didn't want to come off the bus and then reach out to him. I was coming up with all these excuses. By the time I get out of the bus, reach out to him, I'd be late for work, you know. Nothing like the Good Samaritan. And I said to myself, gee, this is a life you're talking about here, you know. This is a life. You don't know what one soul would make in heaven. And so one day, what I did was I went to Sainsbury's because I thought he deserved more than little. So I went to Sainsbury's and I got a bag of biscuits and drinks and all that. And I thought, you know, hopefully I'll see him and then I'll just give him this thing that I bought for him. He's normally around in the area of Watford. But I didn't see him. But then as the bus pulled into the bushy area, just in front of a church, there was a bench. And behind the bench was this pool. I saw him sitting in front of the church. I thought, oh, wow, that was my opportunity. So I just got off the bus, crossed the road, and went over to him. And he was kind of dozing. So I sat by his side like that. And he just opened his eyes and then shifted away from me. You know, black guy sitting by my side. Maybe he's coming to mug me. He doesn't know. So he shifted, and then I said, hello, sir. And he looked at me, and he turned. I was trying to get him, but he wouldn't listen. I said, hello again. He wouldn't. And I can't remember what I said, but I must have said something, because he smiled. And that gave me the opportunity to started talking to him. But even that, he would just nod or shake his head and just nod. So I said, I've got something for you. And I just pushed the bag of stuff that I bought from Sainsbury's. I just pushed it and I gave it to him. He didn't even touch it. So I just spent like 5 more minutes with him and I said, this is for you, sir. And I just walked away. And as I was walking away, I looked back and I saw him looking into the bag, probably checking if it was a bomb or something in the bag. But then he I think he took it. But since then, I've never seen him again. And I have a feeling he's passed on. He's dead or something. But even if he's dead, I'm just praying that he would have gone knowing that there's somebody at least in the world that cares, you know. And that's what I'm thinking. But also, you know, the point I'm trying to make with this story is at times for the sake of the kingdom, you're going to have to go out of your way at times. You're going to have to go out of your way at times for the sake of the kingdom. And I remember again, I was on the bus when this guy, he was sitting behind me. All he was doing was talking and talking. And my first judgment was that he's drunk. But then suddenly he said to me, oh, do I know where Watford Station is? And I said, yeah, you just sit in the bus. It's the last stop. So sit in the bus till it gets to the very end of the journey, and then you find Watford Station. Then I thought I would ask him, you know, where are you going and what are you going to do in Watford? He said to me, I'm on the run. On the run from what? From the police. I said, oh, okay. I said, what happened? And he said, look, he was in hospital. I think he had some sort of cancer, and it was bowel cancer or something. He's just had a surgery, and they told him that, look, there's no chance of you surviving, so you're going to die anyway. And he's thinking, well, if I'm going to die, why do I need to stay in the hospital? So he decided to run away, and they called the police. Anyway, so I found out that he said, you know what, I know I'm going to die, but I don't want to die in London. I want to die in Scotland. That's where I come from. And so I'm just going to Watford Junction Station to meet my daughter, who would come and pick me up. I haven't even told them what is happening yet, you know. And I'm thinking, and I had an appointment that day, but I'm thinking, what if I'm the last person this guy sees before he dies? I have to do something. So what I did was I said, fine, we go off Watford Junction Station, and there's a pub next to where I live. So I took him in there. We sat down. I bought him some food, and we started talking. And I spoke to him about Christ. And I said, do you want me to pray for you? He was a bit reluctant because there were people in the place. But all the same, I prayed for him anyway, and I left him, you know. And I'm just hoping that, you know, whatever prayer I said, one day it would do something, you know. And then again, that's the point I'm trying to make is, look, in this year of expansion, if you're going to put the kingdom first, there are times that you are going to have to go outside of your way. You're definitely going to have to go outside of your way. And, you know, as we step into this new season, every or most of the decisions that you take will be tested and contested at times. Decisions that you take. And that is why I say it's really important that you pray about what God wants you to expand in and how. Because if you're not clear in your mind where you're going and the purpose for which you're called, when the tests and the trials and the temptations come, you'd easily give up. Easily. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8, I just want to show you something there. I respect Paul so much, Apostle. Now listen to what he's saying. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. Now this is Paul talking. Paul, he had so many seasons in his life. He was in Asia right now. That was another season in his life. 2017 is another season in your life. And in this season, trust me, there might be challenges in your life. There might be trials in your life. There are things that you do that the devil would want to contest. Paul here finds himself in Asia, and listen to what he says. He says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despair even of life. We were under great pressure. Go back, please. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. He was at a stage where he couldn't even endure what he was going through. The only thing that kept him there was because he knew he was within the purpose of God for his life. That was the only reason that kept him going. Anyone else would have walked away. And this is the point I'm trying to make. If you're not clear in your mind where God wants you to be and what he wants you to do, you would easily walk away when the trials come. He said, look, this was beyond our ability to endure, but we stuck to it. We despaired even of life. Next verse. Listen to this. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Next verse, please. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that we will continue to deliver us. Hallelujah. Now, this is somebody who understands his purpose. And even, trust me, even if he had a way out of that situation, he would never have gone out because he understands why he is where he is. This same guy, if you remember, Paul and Silas, if you remember, they were in prison some time back, bound in chains. And then the Bible says Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing hymns. And then suddenly, the foundations of the very prison, they were shook. And as a result, the chains on their hands fell off. Now, when that happened, this is Acts chapter 16. When that happens, guess what? They didn't run away. So many of us would run away and say, oh, thank God, my breakthrough has come. My chains have fallen off. No, he didn't. Instead, he stood there. And as a result, he won so many souls to God as a result. Now, this is somebody, once again, who understands the purpose of being where he has to be. He understands it. And so when even chains fall off, he knows that because it's within the purpose of God for his life, he still stays there until that purpose is accomplished. Listen, trials will come and challenges will come. If you don't know why you are where you are, if you don't understand it, when trials come, you just walk away easily. Easily. And so it's so important that you understand what God has for you. I say that if he issued the directive, it's only sensible that you ask him, Lord, how do you want me to go? How do you want me to go? You know, some of the most successful people that I know in life, or some of the most successful Christians that I know in life, or some of the most happiest Christians that I know in life, are not people who have everything going right in their lives. No, they are people who have the right attitude towards everything. They've got the right attitude towards everything. And if you're going to step in this new year of expansion, you need the right attitude. You need the right attitude. You need the right attitude. As I conclude, I just want you to stand on your feet right now because we are going to do some prayers. You know, the Bible says that do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind. And so that's what you should be looking for, really. The peace of God when you're in situations that you don't even think is uncertain, but you've got the peace of God in that, then you know you're on the right path. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus.